Lord, we join with what must be estimated, probably more, some 2 billion people plus in the world claiming to know Jesus personally. I don't know that, but you know it. But I do know this, that as we come, Lord, to the beginning of our Sunday morning, we know that the rest of the world has already celebrated their Sunday. I thank you, Lord, that even this morning, dialoguing back and forth with brothers in the pulpit in New York and New Jersey and Florida today, and it's awesome to realize that we have come as your people. We need to know what that means. We need to celebrate today, Father God, but we just ask you, Lord, that as Christians, we would take advantage of this public display of what you did 2,000 years ago, but how prophetic it really is. You're not only the God who rose again from the dead, the Bible says you're the God that's coming back. And wow, we pray it would be today. So, Father, we ask you now to inhabit the praises of your people, not in our singing, but, Father, in our study of your word. For we ask it in Jesus' name, and all of God's people said, amen. Church, grab your Bibles this morning and turn to Luke chapter 24. Luke chapter 24, and for those of you who are regular here at Calvary, the Gospel of Luke is where we've been for a while. We're almost done with it, but today we're going to go to Luke again because the Gospel of Luke, out of all of the four Gospels, the Gospel of Luke has the most collective narrative of the resurrection morning events. And as you know, the entire theme of this week since Palm Sunday is only Jesus. And in fact, last Sunday, looking at Palm Sunday, we looked at the fact that it's only Jesus Christ who is preordained by God found in the Bible. It's only Jesus. Why do we worship Jesus? Because the Bible says it's only Jesus who the entire Scripture is written all about. From Genesis to Revelation, it's all about Jesus Christ. It's about no other. All of the prophets spoke about Jesus coming. The gospel writers, the epistle writers, all about Jesus Christ. The book of Revelation, yet future, speaks about Jesus Christ. There in that book, it announces that the Lord Jesus Christ will return to earth. And the Bible says that he's going to have a white robe, and on his thigh is written, King of Kings and Lord of Lords. What an awesome sight that's going to be. Palm Sunday. Last Wednesday night, we looked at Jesus' passion, and we considered that it's only Jesus. I love this. It's only Jesus who is the God who can not only obviously live, but can die to be resurrected again. As Christians, we worship the risen Lord. The Bible says that it's God who died on the cross. The Bible says that God was buried in that tomb. And the Bible says that it was God who was resurrected from the dead. We worship the God who can not only live, but the God who can die and come back to life again. And we saw that on Wednesday night. Very important. And now this morning, we celebrate what we looked at on Friday night. On Friday night, we looked at his suffering, that it's only Jesus Christ who was crucified. And the Bible said that he would be crucified. Jesus himself said that he would be crucified, but on the third day be resurrected. And all of that dovetails into this of the greatest of mornings in all of the history of mankind. For the believer, we will celebrate the fact of the resurrection in heaven forever. So today's our day. No matter what, I was watching, no matter what the Discovery Channel says. Man. No matter what the History Channel says, no matter what National Geographic was trying to feed you, the Bible stands sure and stands firm. I know some of you may be new this morning. Most of you, you've already heard this, but I want to make it very clear. Don't ever, ever get your theology from anyone else but the Bible, but by God. Not the History Channel, not the National Geographic, not the Daily Inquirer, even though inquiring minds want to know. Get it from the Word of God. So, Luke chapter 24, beginning at verse 1. Scripture tells us here, now on the first day of the week, that Sunday morning, very early in the morning, they and certain other women with them came to the tomb, bringing the spices which they had prepared. But they found the stone rolled away from the tomb. Then they went in and did not find the body of the Lord Jesus. And it happened that as they were greatly perplexed about this, that behold, two men stood them in shining or brilliant apparel, garments. Then as they were afraid and they bowed their faces, They said to them, "Why do you seek the living among the dead? He's not here, but risen. Remember how he spoke with you when he was still in Galilee, saying that the Son of Man must be delivered into the hands of sinful men and be crucified, but on the third day be raised again." Then they remembered his words, and then they returned from the tomb and told all these things to the 11 and to the rest. And it was Mary Magdalene, Joanna, Mary the mother of James, and the other women with them who told these things to the apostles. And their words seemed to them like idle tales, and they did not believe them. But Peter arose and ran to the tomb, and stooping down, he saw the linen cloths lying by themselves, and he departed, marveling to himself what had happened. And now behold, two of them were traveling that same day to a village called Emmaus, which is about 7 miles from Jerusalem. It was then, it still is today. And they walked together they talked together on these things about which had happened, and so it was that while they conversed and reasoned, that Jesus himself drew near and went with them. And their eyes were restrained so that they did not recognize him. And he said to them, "What kind of conversation is this that you have one with another as you walk and are sad?" Then the one whose name was Cleopas answered and said to him, "Are you the only stranger in Jerusalem, and have you not known the things which had happened in these days?" And he said to them, "What things?" So they said to him, "The things concerning Jesus of Nazareth, who was a prophet, mighty in deed and word before God and all the people, and how the chief priests and our rulers delivered him to be condemned to death and crucified him. But we were hoping that it was he who was going to redeem Israel. And indeed, besides all this, today is the third day since these things happened. And yes, certain women of our company who arrived at the tomb earlier astonished us when they did not find his body. They came saying that they'd also seen a vision of angels who said that he was alive. And certain of those who were with us went to the tomb and found it just as the women had said, but him they did not see. Then Jesus said to them, "You foolish ones, O slow of heart to believe all that the prophets have spoken. Ought not Christ to have suffered these things and enter into his glory?" And beginning at Moses and all of the prophets, so your Old Testament, Jesus expounded to them in all of the scriptures the things concerning himself. And then they drew near to the village, and they were going and indicated that he would go on further. Verse 29 says, "But they constrained him, saying, 'Abide with us, for it is toward evening, and the day is far spent.' And he went in to stay with them. And now it came to pass that as they sat by the table with him, that he took bread, blessed it, and broke it, and gave it to them. And their eyes were open, and they recognized him. And suddenly, he vanished from their sight. And they said to one another, 'Did not our heart burn within us while he talked to us on the road, while he opened the scriptures to us?' And so they arose in that very hour and returned to Jerusalem and found the 11 and those who were with them gathered together, saying, 'The Lord is risen indeed, and he has appeared to Simon.' And they told about the things that had happened." What an awesome event. Gives me a great deal of pleasure and tremendous satisfaction to announce, and I know it might rub some people the wrong way. I said it last Friday night. But this is the only message in the world found in the Bible that is the absolute message of hope that is for your life, and it's free for the taking this morning if you listen. It's a message of absolute assurance, acceptance. It's a message of absolute forgiveness if you'll let him. It's a message that our Buddhist friends don't have. Listen, for a moment, let's stop being politically correct. Our Muslim friends do not have this message that we just read a moment ago. Our Hindu friends don't have this message. The friends that you and I have that are involved in cults, they don't have this message. It's the greatest message in the world, and God sent that message. We didn't make it up. And so this morning, you're going to be challenged to acquiesce to what God wants you to do. The only one who truly, as we'll hear this morning, cares and loves and did everything to get you and I in heaven. Amazing. So listen, only Jesus. It's only Jesus, number one. It's only Jesus who has you on his mind. Think about it right now. And I want you to understand what that means. It's only Jesus Christ right now that has you personally on his mind. The Bible tells us in Galatians chapter 3, verse 22, "But the scriptures has confined or condemned all under sin, that the promise of faith in Jesus Christ might be given to those who believe. Did you hear that? The Bible announces that each and every one of us, according to the Scriptures, have been condemned by sin. The Bible announces that none of us can get to heaven. The Bible makes it clear that you and I, by our good works, can only bless other people. Our good works can never bless God unless we know Him personally. The Bible says that by our good deeds, by no man shall ever enter into the kingdom of heaven. You say, but Jack, shouldn't we do good things? Of course we should do good things. Everybody should do good things. But the Bible makes it clear that by doing good things, we cannot earn our way into heaven. The Bible says that it's by faith in Jesus Christ alone. And the Scripture makes it clear. Listen, so if we are all sinners, and the Bible says if we are all condemned, what is the good news on this resurrection morning? Oh, it's this. It's that Jesus had you and has you now on His mind. Hebrews chapter 12, verse 2 says, looking unto Jesus. That word, by the way, to look or looking unto Jesus means to have your eyes anchored or stapled, we would say today, to Christ, the author and the finisher of our faith, who, for the joy that was set before Him, endured the cross, despising the shame, and has sat down at the right hand of the throne of God. Think about that for a moment. Jesus embraced the cross last week in history, 2,000 years ago. He went through it for you. Please understand this. As much as you and I would like to hold someone's hand to walk into heaven or to make a decision for Jesus, you need to know what the Bible says. The Bible says that He's our personal Savior. The Bible says that we must come to Him of our own volition, of our own will, of our own choosing. No one can choose Jesus for you. Do you have a godly husband and you think you're going to get to heaven because you're married to a godly man? The Bible says you will not. Do you have a godly wife who prays and nurtures the children in the Lord and you think you're going to hang on to her apron strings to get into heaven? The Bible says you won't make it. He's a personal Savior who, listen, died on the cross because He had you on His mind. Personally, only God can do that. He had me on His mind. You say, Jack, that was 2,000 years ago. I know, that's what makes it so cool. He's God, and He can do that. Personally, He's your personal Savior, and it's only Jesus, and it's the one we celebrate today. Yes, it's true, His name is the biggest curse and cuss word in all of the world. Among those who don't know Him, but among those who know Him, His name is the most wonderful and praiseworthy name in all of the world. And so how interesting it is that today you need to understand and embrace the fact that Jesus Christ has you affixed to His mind and heart. He's your personal Savior. Secondly, it's only Jesus, my friend, it's only Jesus who is inviting you to His house. Think about that for a moment. It's only Jesus who invites you to His home in heaven. That's what the Bible says. Have you read it? The Bible says that God wants us in heaven with Him. I always find that amazing. I got to tell you, I always find it amazing. I know it's kind of cool today to make fun of Christians, and that's okay. Actually, it's very okay. Well, your Bible, oh, that old book, who can believe it? Yeah, it's funny. You can go ahead and attack it, but can you generate some evidence as to why it should be rejected or refused? Well, it's got contradictions in it. Really? Find one, will you? Love to read about it. Well, you know, my friends said, you're going to base eternity on what your friends have said? Well, you know what I feel, or how about this one? We're all guilty of this. If we were God, what? We'd rewrite the book? You know, come on. If man wrote this book, the word sin would never be in it. Let's be honest. If man wrote this book and King David had a lot to do with the Psalms, why would a man, King David, who was an adulterer and a murderer, write that in the book about himself if he wrote the book? Think about it. Would Peter write what is written about Peter in the book? Can you imagine Rahab writing in the book, I'm a harlot, for generations to read about? Amazing. And don't you think if man wrote the book that we would have known a lot more from Noah about how it was in that big boat anyway? You know the question you have, did Noah have dinosaurs on the ark? Noah would have wrote about that. Got these all bunch of little lizards that are going to grow up someday into these big things. The Bible says God wrote the book. The Bible says, and this is amazing to me, but it's the only way that we would believe it. God says, I've written to you this Bible, and I've used people, I've used men, I've spoken through them. And without any error, without any mistake, God uses a human instrument to write history, some of it history in advance, called Bible prophecy. And God, who inspired them, the Bible says, moved through them. And we have our scriptures today that announce from Genesis to Revelation this amazing fact, that God invites you to his home. God wants you to come to his house. That is great. Look, there's a lot of you here today. I love you. Some of you I don't know. I'd love for you to come to my house, but not all at once. Imagine, the Bible says there's going to come a day when God wants all of us to come to his house at one incredible moment. Is that going to be great or what? Say, man, the crowd, the parking, the headache. No parking! Amen, no parking, and there'll be no line. I don't know, how's that going to work in eternity? What line do I get in to see Jesus? No lines! Jesus said it this way, and keep this in mind, by the way. The book of Genesis says that God created the heavens and the earth in a matter of a few days. When you're God, you can do that kind of stuff. It's surprising to me that he didn't make it sooner, but it took him a week to make everything. But do you realize when I read what I'm going to read to you in a moment, how long has Jesus been preparing heaven for you and I? Well, this is how long. John 14:1 says, let not your heart be troubled. That Greek word is where we get the word earthquake. Don't let your heart seismos. Don't let your heart be shaken to its core. You believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house are many mansions. And if it were not so, I would have told you. I go now to prepare a place for you. And if I go to prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you to myself. And here it is. That where I am, there you may be also. David said this in Psalm 27. He says, one thing that I've desired, O Lord, and that thing will I seek after, that I may dwell in the house of the Lord all the days of my life. Wow! Now I know, listen, in America, statistically, there are more people leaving church than those that are going to churches. And maybe that's a good thing, because many churches in America are dead. I wouldn't go to them either. But listen, there are other churches that are preaching the Word of God and that are growing. You're sitting in one of them. Why? Because there's one thing that we desire, and that is that we might dwell in the house of the Lord all the days of our life. And you say, so Jack, are you saying that this is the house of the Lord? No, this happens to be a building where we gather. You, the Bible says, are the dwelling place of the living God. The believer, the Scripture says, is where the Holy Spirit resides. And then ultimately, we are going to stop this pilgrimage and this journey we're on, and we're going to go see the Lord in heaven face to face, and we are going to enter into his presence there in the ultimate house of the Lord. And it is going to be beyond what Paul the Apostle said, anything, listen, anything that you could have ever imagined or thought of, beyond anything that you've ever heard. I had a wonderful opportunity. Many of you were there. We had a great time yesterday giving the gospel to thousands of people and feeding them, by the way. My goodness, they had mashed potatoes and they had barbecue chicken and these incredible like Dodger dog hot dogs. And they had a great, they got Easter baskets and all kinds of stuff. See, what are you talking about? Downtown LA, right in the shadows of the high rises on 4th Street. The street was blocked off, LAPD was out there, and there was a stage, and there were crosses, and we preached the gospel to these homeless people on the streets, and listen, they were so precious. They got there, they sat down, they're trying to get themselves cleaned up. One lady, she said, Pastor, Pastor, Pastor! And I went over to her, and I put my arm around her, and she says, my son's been missing for years. No one's found my son. I don't know where he's at. I don't know what's become of him. I said, what's his name? His name's Tim. And I go, let's pray right now. She had two different shoes on. Her clothes were so filthy. She was beyond description. And when I went to pray with her, I got a whiff of her smell, of her body. And I literally gagged, and thank God she didn't catch me. I turned my head away, and I almost lost it. And my thought instantly in my mind was, oh, Jesus, how'd you do this? How did you do this? And I turned back, and I was praying with her, and I caught a little bit of the more of the whiff. And it was beyond description. But inside is a mother crying out for her son. She's homeless. She's about 50 years old. She's wearing whatever she could wear. She sat down yesterday. She heard the gospel. We told her, you can eat this bread and be filled for a moment, but you need the bread of life. And let me tell you, at the end of the message, she was one of the first. She actually went right through a group of kids, little kids, to get a Bible. We said, those of you accepting Christ, come up here and get a Bible. And man, she came running, and there's a smile on her face. How does that happen? Because I made a point in that message to get those homeless people to look behind me at those high-rise buildings and to ask themselves the question, where are those people who occupy those great high-rise buildings? Where do they live? What are they eating today? Do they have any problems? Those who occupy that world-renowned skyline, are they in Bel Air? Are they in Malibu? And I told her and I told them, it doesn't matter where they're at because they have the same need. They'll be hungry again. Jesus says, I'm the bread of life that comes from heaven. And you'll never be full unless you eat of the bread I give you. And he says, the bread that I give you is my life. Do you know that? And I wonder where she slept last night. Well, I know this, according to my Bible, in John chapter 6, right after Jesus got done saying, I'm the bread of life, he also said, I'll never leave you or forsake you. So wherever she was sleeping last night, Jesus was sleeping with her. Jesus was right alongside her. She woke up this morning on this resurrection day with Jesus. And she will dwell with you and I someday in the house of the Lord all the eternal days of our life. Where do you live? I don't care if you live in a palace. It ain't nothing compared to where you're going if you know Jesus. You understand that? He wants you and invites you. You say, Pastor Jack, I've never been invited anywhere before. Well, Jesus is inviting you. And it doesn't matter who invites you or who doesn't invite you. If Jesus invites you, why do you need an invitation from anybody else? In a moment, he's going to invite you. Number three, it's only Jesus who will guarantee your life. Wow. Guarantee your life. Your life has a warranty on it, issued by its creator. It's one thing for us. We go buy something. We're terrible about this. At least guys are. We'll go buy something and we don't read the instructions first of all. There needs to be a female version of an item and a male version. The female version, they can put the instructions in because the ladies will read it. Guys, we can't read that. We don't do maps and we don't do instructions. So what do we do? Well, we put oil in the wrong hole or we put water in the wrong thing and then we wonder why it doesn't work. Life, we don't include God in our lives and we wonder why it doesn't work. My marriage, my children, my parents, my career. Well, how much involvement has God had in all of that? Your life has a warranty issued by its maker. Jesus said in John 14, he says, I will not leave you orphaned. I will come to you. A little while longer and the world will see me no more, but you will see me because I live, you will live also. He was speaking about the resurrection. He was saying, I'm going to be dead. But not for long, only for the weekend. And then I'll be alive. And because I'm alive, you'll be alive. Church, listen, Jesus is alive today. And because that's a fact, you will be alive forever if you come to him. Number four, it's only Jesus who can answer your question. And I can hear the ringing in my ears of the question yesterday by a couple of people. Why am I here? Pastor, can you tell me why I'm here? How do you answer somebody like that? You don't know them. But I got news for you. Listen to this. One of the pastors who were with me, who was with me yesterday, said, after the event was over, he said, you know, I thought we were going to have just a bunch of crazy weirdos running around. He said, they're people just like us. Even the most seasoned homeless person was respectful yesterday. You know how precious it is when you say, let's pray, and people go like this? How do you deal with that? Do you think they put a smile on God's heart? Sometimes when I say publicly, let's pray, there's people that just go. What's with that? Jesus says there's a man in Jerusalem who was very righteous. And he prayed 3 times a day. And he stood on this street corner and he prayed, Jesus said. And the man stood there and said, God, I thank you. I'm not like other men. And Jesus said the man referenced in his prayer, I thank you, Lord, that I'm not like this beggar here. And Jesus said that beggar beat his chest with his fist and said, oh God, be merciful to me, a sinner. And then Jesus asked the disciples, out of those two men, which one do you think went back home justified in God's sight? The religious man or the man who would not even put his head up toward heaven? Jesus said, I tell you, it's that man who couldn't even turn his eyes and look up to me. I'll think about that. Where are you in that crowd? Only Jesus can answer your question. So, Pastor, how can this happen in my life? I don't know the answer to that because I don't know you like God knows you. I could never know you like God knows you. But you need to turn all of the events of your life over to Him. And rather than debate with Him as to why, trust Him and say, Lord, why not? Why not? Because God, if I'm really honest with myself, there's a good chance I never would turn to you and ask you for help. So all the things that have gone on in my life now to this moment, I'm asking you, Lord, to hear my cry. And maybe answer this question. Will you have me, Jesus? Will you have me? In the oldest book in the world, oldest book on record. You can find it in the Bible, by the way. It's the book of Job. Job asked the question that every human being asks. In Job 14, verse 14, Job says, if a man dies, will he live again? Isn't that in your heart to ask? Some people are too proud to ask that question. Some people are too scared to ask that question. Job says, if a man dies, does he live again? Jesus said in John 11, I'm the resurrection and the life, and he who believes in me, though he may die, yet shall he live. And Jesus turned to Martha and said, do you believe this? And that's the question. Do you believe this? The word believe and believe this is that word in Greek which means to have faith in Him. It's not just to believe. Like, I believe this message is coming to an end right now. But to believe, it's a different word. It is to have absolute faith in the fact that what Jesus just said. He said, listen everyone, now it gets real personal. He says to you, right now, these are the eternal words of God. I am the resurrection and the life. He who believes in me will never die. Do you believe this? He says, do you believe this? He asked every one of us right now, do you believe it? And we can't generate any excuse as to, well, you know, I didn't know. I didn't have a Bible. I couldn't get to a Bible. Listen, this is America. America's messed up, but it's still the greatest place on the planet to come home to. And if you don't have a Bible, I can't imagine a church, including this one, that won't give you a Bible. So there's no excuse about that. Do you know His message to you? And do you believe Him when He says, come to me? Jesus said, as I mentioned earlier, in John 6, if you come to me, I will never turn you away. And you think about that for a minute. The Bible tells us that Jesus Christ was crucified on the cross for our sins. That's why we love him. Secondly, the Bible says that he rose from the grave. What does that mean? What does that do? That guarantees the fact of his sacrifice. He sacrificed himself to die where you and I were supposed to die. That is, a sinner's death. He went there so you and I wouldn't have to go and die a sinner's death. You say, well, Jack, aren't we all going to die? Yes, we will all die, but you don't have to die a sinner's death. I got news for you. Look at me. Can you see me? I am not going to die a sinner's death. I'm going to die, but the Bible says to be absent from the body is to be present with the Lord for the believer. So you don't have to die a sinner's death. Jesus died a sinner's death for me. And then the Bible says that he rose again from the grave. Yes. This is cool, and I'll sum it up with this. In fact, to tell you that, I will invite the worship team, come on out, to tell you that I'm really wrapping this up. Check this out. Jesus Christ himself came and fulfilled all that was required. Watch. And he wrote a will. I hope you have a will, especially now. Read the California State Constitution of this state and find out who owns your children until the age of 18. Find out who owns your kids until they're 18. Funny person. You're just paying the bill. You don't own them. You need a will. You need a living trust. Watch. Why? To say or to announce what you intend and to have happened. It's called the Old Testament. Watch this. Then it needs to be fulfilled. The Bible says at the moment of death, only then does the transaction receive power from him who died. If you have a will right now, your will only brings you peace of mind until you die. And then it brings the entire family peace of mind. But it's only empowered after your death. Guess what? This is cool. Jesus not only died to empower all of the promises of the Old Testament, but in his resurrection, he arose to be the advocate to make sure that the New Testament transaction is implemented rightly, correctly, and he's the one that did it. Listen, he died to enforce it. He rose again to guarantee it, to make sure it happens. How cool is that? He keeps his promises. So, here it is. Jesus said, if you acknowledge me before men, mankind, I will acknowledge you before my Father which is in heaven. If you deny me, that is, refuse me, neglect me before men, I will neglect you before my Father which is in heaven. So I want to ask you right now, is everybody listening? This is critical. Have you ever publicly stood for Jesus Christ? If you haven't, you must do that before you die. You say, okay, Pastor, I'll do that before I die. Well, when are you going to die? You don't know. So my advice to you today, you've heard that he died on the cross for your sins. You heard that he's got an absolute plan for your life, both now and forever. Do you want your sins forgiven you? Let's bow our heads and pray. Prepare our hearts to pray. Everyone bows their heads. And in a moment, listen, I'm going to ask you to obey the voice of God who's been speaking to you, because you're starting to sense, I need to make this decision. But you're also battling with yourself about, should I do this? Can I do this? What will people think about me? All these silly thoughts. I understand that. I remember those thoughts. But right now, right where you're at, will you raise your hand in saying to me, by raising your hand, Pastor Jack, I'm accepting Jesus Christ as my Lord and Savior today. And then when we're done with that invitation, today's the day for you to rededicate your life to Christ if you're a wayward believer. So heads bowed and eyes are closed. Father, I pray right now across this sanctuary that you would wrestle with and capture those hearts that today you're speaking to, that today's their day to make a public decision for Christ, that their names may be written down in the Lamb's Book of Life, that today will be their day of salvation. If today you believe, friends, that Jesus died on the cross and rose again from the dead, and you're receiving Him now to have your sins forgiven, to say to God right now, I need You to save me, God. I want a life change. I want a break from my past. I want to live for God. In fact, here's what we'll do. If that's your prayer request right now, slip your hand wherever you're at. Just put it up. If God is speaking to you, God bless you in the back. Anyone else, God bless you. Just put your hand up and you're saying, I want Jesus Christ as my Lord and Savior. God bless you up front, in the very back, on the aisle. Listen, imagine right now, God is watching. He's eternal. He's real. He's now. And some of you are wrestling inside and you haven't raised your hand. You can put your hands down. Here's what we're going to do. As we start to sing this song, church, I want you to stay focused. You get up. You come forward right here, and I want to pray with you. Be bold. Don't be afraid. Publicly stand for Jesus and come forward today. As we sing this song, you make your way forward. Those of you who raised your hands and those of you who God's speaking to, you come forward now. Come on. Don't be shy. It's okay. Now look. You need to make your way. Like these have come. You need to come for this reason. If there's anyone here this morning where you know what's going on inside, you can't quite explain it, but you know, man, I got to do this. I need to do this. You got dry mouth. You're nervous. It's amazing because no one's pointing at you but God alone. And the Bible says that when He's inviting you, when He's calling you like this, that you need to respond to Him. He may never call you like this again. The Bible says that he who is often rebuked will someday harden his heart and then will be taken away. Don't be that person. As these have come forward, you need to come forward. You need to be able to mark your calendar that today I accepted Christ. If that turmoil is going on in your life, you come right now. Don't be shy. You say, man, I don't know if the girl next to me is going to think that, maybe she's going to think less of a man, or I'll be less of a woman if I do this. No, you'll be a complete person if you do this. So you think about that. And then if there's anyone also here this morning, you have wandered far from God. You knew Jesus once. You once read your Bible. The world has sucked you in. And this resurrection morning has brought you back to church. Well, listen, you need to rededicate your life today. So you come forward as we get ready to sing this song. And hurry up. This is the last call. The bus is leaving. So hurry up and you come. We're going to pray right now. So those of you who have come forward, I want you to know something. You may or may not be feeling something right now, and that's not the point. It's not important if you're feeling something. It's not important if you've got goosebumps right now. It doesn't work that way. The decision that you've made to come forward right now has been because you have agreed with what God has been speaking to your heart. Imagine this. According to the scriptures, the Bible says that all of us must someday stand before God. Hey, listen, if there's anybody here holding out on God today, they're not going to do that. They're just not going to come to Him. They're going to hold out. Understand something. every one of us will stand before the Lord. And it's absolutely vital. So I'm going to ask you to pray this prayer with me. And here's the thing. It's not a magical prayer. It's not a trick prayer. But all you have to do is agree with this prayer. Let these words fall from your lips. Lord, I come to you now, and I ask you to forgive me of my sins. Jesus, I pray that you would change my life. I want to know you personally. I want to know your life, your word, your plan for me. I give you my life now. And I thank you, Lord Jesus, for having died on the cross and being risen from the dead. And I thank you now in Jesus' name. Friends, listen. I'm going to ask something very special of you. Pastor Jeff is right there with his hands up. I'm going to meet with you in a minute. This service is going to come to an end, but you and I, we will get together. He's going to walk you through that door, and I'm going to run around the back building and act like I've been over there the whole time. And I'll meet you there. We want to give you a Bible. We want to pray with you one more time. And by the time your family is getting out, you're going to be meeting them. So, okay, good deal. You have one more step to make. Turn to your left and follow Pastor Jeff right there, and I'll meet you on the other side of the wall, you guys. God bless you. Church, let's all stand together.